You are now listening to The Social Hour.
All right, welcome to the show. We're bright and early here in Studio 209. This is your Social Hour. We are your typical bastards. I am Deese.
And I'm Brian.
We're up at this a little early. We both had a long night, so we are drinking coffee again. It seems like we went from beer to coffee on these shows.
Man, long weekend. I feel like The weekend hasn't stopped since Friday morning.
Yeah. It has been a long, long weekend. I am, and I got to move today. My whole day, I got to spend moving. I'm moving. New place, bigger place. I'm excited, but it is, I hate moving.
Moving's a pain, man. Fortunately, you live simply and you don't have a ton of stuff.
That is true.
I've been over to your house. You got some handful of paintings, a bed, a dresser, some clothes.
Yeah,
probably a big porn stash somewhere.
No, it's called my tablet.
You condensed it all.
Yeah, come on, man. We've truncated it just to one thing.
You don't have like the vintage jugs or
no
Poppin' Booty, whatever.
You know what? I don't think I've ever owned a hard copy of a magazine, like a porn magazine, in my life.
That, I snuck some peeks at my buddy's his dad's penthouse one time when I was like 12. But that's about as close as I've come to an actual porn mag.
I mean, I've seen them. Don't get me wrong. When I was younger, I've seen them. There was the, you know, the ones that you had, your buddies. Like, it was a communal one you'd hide in the woods.
Right, right.
And everyone got to use it. But we...
The one, you know, the hobo found it also.
Yeah, so. Right. I'm sure someone else... Yeah, that's, which... Hey, you gotta share. You gotta spread it around a little.
That's right. Pre-internet.
But, no, I don't think I ever actually physically owned one. And... Not to toot my own horn, but I always felt like from a pretty young age I was pretty good at getting real women. So the porn magazine didn't really lost its luster after
makes
that.
Sense, what's your humping your stuffed turtle doesn't count.
Mm. Okay, it was a tortoise.
Oh,
and we were in love.
Okay,
it was genuine.
Well, that's all that matters.
I wish if you wouldn't belittle our connection. Just waiting for
my
them to overturn DOMA. So we can get married. So.
Nice. But yeah, long weekends. You're moving into a new house. I'm looking forward to seeing it. New recording studio for the Social Hour with Typical Bastards.
That's right.
209 was a temporary makeshift. The house will be a little more suitable, I feel like.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice studio setup for us. We're going to have to rename it.
Yes.
We'll figure out a good name for it.
I like naming shit. We'll come up with something.
But I tell you what, dude. I've been driving around a lot recently, just putting a lot of miles on, and
just doing what?
Just driving. Just gotta drive. Yeah. Hit the open road.
Sure,
you know,
it's good for you.
The just working. You know, run around. This is the documentary thing, and women.
Yep.
Getting new stuff for the house and just everything we're doing these days. Staying busy with it, trying to get, you know, getting the website back up, or not back up, but up to date and everything.
It's getting there.
It's almost there. So, but I cannot stand, and I'm from LA, I cannot stand Spokane drivers, dude. It is driving me nuts. Like, literally, there's this one place up on the north side, this one intersection I constantly go through. One part of it has a yield sign. Okay. Everyone fucking stops at this yield sign.
Oh, I saw that Facebook land.
Dude, what the fuck? If you were meant to stop at a yield sign, it would be a fucking stop sign, not a yield sign.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with people that they can't figure out how the fuck to drive?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, man. And what always, whatever fails to amaze me is how different Spokane drivers are from our Seattle counterparts.
Right.
Alone. Like, as you know, I didn't have a car for a while. Living right downtown, taking a lot of taxis, public transportation when I had to.
Here in Spokane, you mean?
Yeah, here in Spokane.
Which makes it, you know...
Yeah,
you can avoid that headache.
It wasn't bad. I mean, the big difference, you know, Seattle, it's obviously bigger, but their public transportation is down
bad.
Like,
well, yeah, it exists. Here, it's just a fucking couple junkies behind the wheel of a bus. Driving more junkies.
Yeah. 90% of the bus riders here are welfare recipients and Insane Clown Posse fans. Not that there's a big difference.
Yeah. It's like just the gathering of the juggalos held at the
on
plaza.
The bus. Yeah, and a Spokane bus actually being on time would be the eighth wonder of the world. They suck. Anyway, having walked around a lot, because I'm kind of a proud son of a bitch, and I didn't like taking the bus if I didn't have to, I'd walk or bike everywhere. It's a law that it designated crosswalks. If it doesn't have to be at a light, just like a crosswalk with a yellow sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there's someone standing waiting to cross, you stop for them.
Right.
No one fucking does that in Spokane. No. Everyone's like bullets right past. Like, I will literally make it to the point where I like being annoyed. So, like, I'll actually, like, inch my way out to see if people are going to stop and they don't. So I get all, you know, flustered.
Get all mad.
Yeah, get all mad. I'm like, supposed to stop, assholes. Like, I'll point at the sign and pretty soon the bird comes out. And
yeah.
And then eventually, you know, you walk like 3 feet into the road, people finally stop. But it's because they're like, well, what the fuck is this guy doing in the road? Not because they realize it's a crosswalk.
Right, they're so checked out. What's scary on things like those is that you'll have like one person in the fast lane stop, and you start going, and the person in the next lane over doesn't see you yet crossing, and just goes flying by them. Like, they have no idea why
this guy stopped.
But it's I don't understand how do – we need to – like, you get a driver's ed test. When you're 14 and a half, they give you license, then you're just free and clear until you fucking die. Like,
yeah.
There's no re-upping this test. Look, if you're a doctor, you have to retake exams and tests to make sure you are up on the current rules. Or a lawyer, you have to take – you don't retake the bar, but you have to constantly take new exams to make sure you're up on current laws.
Yeah, true.
Why are we not updating these drivers and making sure that they're still able to drive.
Yeah.
Capable at all. I mean, look.
What do we get? Like a little eye check? You look inside the hologram box, and if you can match the R with the red square, you're good? Like,
I have never done that. I've been driving for 17 years. I have never once had a goddamn anything. I've never had anything besides just you go renew your license.
Here's $20. Here's my get a new license.
Yeah. So... Jesus Christ, you gotta know some rules of how the road is. I mean, look, they don't let someone fly a 747 if you don't know how to fly a jet real well, right? You gotta know a couple things first. But no, I mean, and how many people die in plane-related deaths compared to car-related deaths every year?
Yeah.
It's a pretty astronomical difference.
It is, and like, not even because there's more cars than there are planes. I mean, so obviously there's gonna be higher numbers, but I think if you were to do per capita, is that the wrong? It's probably the wrong word, but you know,
it's like a ratio. Yeah,
yeah, it would probably come out. Cars are still way ahead, and yeah, it freaks me out, man. Despite my DUI from like 8 years ago, I consider myself to be a pretty conscientious driver. I've got a lot of good road etiquette, and I get all horked, man, when people don't use blinkers and shit like that. People not paying attention. You know, people just taking blind right turns.
If people are around, I try and use blinkers. If no one's around, I don't use blinker.
I just make a good habit of it.
No, that's to me. It's burning calories I don't need to burn. It's sure. Like, you know, it's it's like why like you're not manscaping your junk if you're only beating off by yourself every night.
Well,
you know,
sure
if you're
not I am, going dude. Out, I want to feel sexy.
No, you light a couple candles for yourself.
Yeah,
and, you know, cucumber melon and put on some Marvin Gaye and
yeah.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Well, Tony Bennett, if I'm feeling fancy.
You look nice. Tony Bennett, Jesus Christ. I don't get it. I haven't had a ticket in a decade.
Nice.
So, it has been a decade since I got a ticket. And you
Geico must love your ass.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you've seen me drive. We did it today on the way here.
Yeah.
Drove through a red light.
Yep.
Like, we sat there for, it was a one-way, we sat there for, I don't know, minute and a half, 2 minutes, nothing. The light's still green. I'm not getting a yellow even. So I'm like, I look, I can see probably 5 blocks down the road one way, no one coming. Fuck it, I'm going. I don't care. I am a safe adult.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
You don't need a blind, and that's the problem, dude. Like, I wish more people would do what you did because people just blindly follow. It's like, oh, green, just mob on the gas without looking either way, and that's how T-bones happen at intersections, because you're supposed to look. I always look both ways when I'm going through green lights to make sure no assholes trying to speed it. And it's like, I'm a grown person. I'm capable of seeing what's coming. Just because the light's green doesn't mean it's safe to go.
Right.
You know, I see this all the time downtown. I jaywalk like a motherfucker. I don't sit around and wait.
Oh,
but
no.
You get these people that stand at the corner with the don't walk sign. And you can look and see for a mile in either direction, not a car in sight, yet they just stand there and stare at the sign until it turns to the walk. And then, boom, they cross the street. And, you know, I've had parents, like, all start to cross while they're standing there, like, like, scoff at me. I'm like, you know, lady, I'm not trying to set an example for your kid. That's your fucking job.
Yeah.
If you want to teach them to blindly follow the signs and not think for themselves as an adult, that's your call.
Yeah, that's up to you. You know, statistically speaking, more pedestrians are hit by cars at crosswalks with the lights, with, like, the walk symbols and don't walk symbols, because they don't pay attention to the actual cars.
Yeah.
Because they just see, oh, it's my, they see the light for walking, and they just say, okay, it's my turn to go, and they just go.
Yeah.
And they don't pay attention to cars that may be careening through and not seeing the red light, and they get struck more. Whereas if there's no symbols for signs for them to follow, lights for them to follow, they're head on a swivel. They're looking. They're like, okay, this is an active road. People are driving down this road. I gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just checked out. And they're like, da-da-da-da-da, my turn to go.
Katy Perry. Yeah. Like, that's the way to go, man. There was an experiment that was done. I think it was over in Switzerland somewhere. And in a major part of town, they took out all traffic signs and most of the lights, just to see how people would cope, to see if it was more efficient. Guess what? It was more efficient. Accidents went way down.
Yeah.
And they determined it's because people had to think for themselves. Like you said, they're not just blindly following a light or a sign.
Right.
It's like they're actually having to, like, be actively looking out for when can I go.
Well, they're locked in on the situation. They're paying attention. They're not just checked out, just on autopilot running through the motions. They're actually involved in their day-to-day life using cognitive thinking abilities, which is crazy. It's like, kind of tangentially speaking, but, like, again, spending a lot of time at retail stores buying stuff for the new house, and I am being driven batty by the way people get around in life in general. Drive, walking, the way people walk around a store, they fucking meander.
Yeah.
Like, and they meander in a slow, like, this slow pace and kind of back and forth, side to
right
side.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, so you can't fucking get around them. I swear to God, dude, I want to let loose just, like, a pack of rabid hyenas into the city. And just so everyone is constantly on the lookout, like, I gotta get my car quick, I gotta get in the store quick, I gotta get my shit, I gotta get home. There are fucking hyenas everywhere. They could be anywhere, I don't know. You know, just to get people moving again, because they just meander. And I'm like, who the fuck, who are you people?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your life?
You're so empty-headed that you're just meandering around. Yeah, I agree, I see it all the time. Escalators are a big thing for me. It's like I'm trying to get up the escalator, and people just stand, you know, 2-3 abreast if they can, just standing there waiting. It's like the escalator will get me there.
Yeah,
you can actually walk.
Right,
like in every other country, people get pissed off if you stand there and walk. It's like up on the right, it's standing on the right, so traffic can get up.
Like
on the
fast lane, slow lane,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It should always be that way. It's like the people movers at the airport and stuff too.
Yeah, same thing. And it's just oblivious people, man. Back to me riding my bike a lot. You go to the park over here, and they've got the designated wheels-only lane.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the paint's a little faded, but you can still make out the yellow line.
Yeah.
That is clearly smaller than the main path. Yet people just, stop for a stroll, just oblivious, head in the clouds.
Yeah.
And it's like, so bikers have to go around them, or I would always stop and be like, excuse me, until, like, they realize they're in the bike lane.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's totally pretentious of me, but I don't really care, because they'd get mad at me if I was, like, trying to swerve around them.
Well, at least you're not flying down the bike in your, like, skin-tight Apollo Ono suit and your aerodynamic helmet and special shoes.
My United States Postal Service jersey.
Yeah, like that's those assholes that are like all into the biking.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you're going like 3 miles. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, but it just the way people conduct their day-to-day life, just it blows my mind. Like, I would blow my fucking brains out. I don't understand how you can, like, deal with they clearly have nothing to do. They're just in the way people is what I call them. They're just not serving any purpose to our society at all.
Yeah, in the way people.
You know, one of my big things at the supermarket, the parking lot of the supermarket, when you walk out of the front of the store, there's that lane of traffic that's heading, in front of the store, whatever, both ways, you know, and then you actually get into the parking lot area.
Sure. Which store are we talking about?
Any store.
Oh, okay.
Any store is like that, you know.
I didn't know if there's a specific one.
Okay. No, I mean, you can drive right in front of the store, you can go in and drive out.
Oh, I got you.
Lot,
right.
Fine. People walk out of the store, and then they take, like, the longest angle they can.
Yes.
Across the walkway where the or across where the car path is, you know what I'm saying, before the parking lot. You should walk straight across into the parking lot, then walk around for your car. Not this fucking 20-minute, like, you know,
zigzag.
Yeah, 20-minute, like, I don't know if that's like a 60-degree angle or whatever the fuck that is, you know, across the lane of traffic. So you're, and then they get into the lane of, then they get into the parking lot, actually, and they meander right down the fucking middle of the goddamn lane in between the two cars. And you're like, fucking pick one side or another. Or if there's multiple people, they line up like they're at a freedom march, or like they're a blockade, so you won't tear down the old willow tree at the so they can build the new freeway or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, save the tree. Just, like, line up like you're fucking ducks in a row, okay? So we can still keep traffic moving.
Mm-hmm.
And just nobody thinks about it. I don't understand what the hell goes on through people's heads.
Get out of the goddamn way, people.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to.
So,
It's pretty obnoxious.
This, you know, I didn't mean for this to be such a good segue, but I think it's going to be.
Okay.
I pulled this list off the internet the other day. I don't remember where I got this. I was on BuzzFeed.
Oh, I don't even want to hear it then, man. Fuck BuzzFeed. They're clickbait, no content having bullshit.
This is actually, it was a funny list. I like to take the quizzes. I want to know what my color aura is.
Do you want to know what country are you?
Yeah, what country am I? I was Portugal.
Which decade are you?
I was the 50s. So this was 7 things to do when you are bored out of your mind.
Okay, so masturbating has to be at least 4 of them.
Well, hold on, don't get ahead of yourself. The funny thing about this list is like, who are these people? Again, who are these people that are bored? Like, how much free time do people have that, like, they're bored? I don't remember the last time I was like, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. I got nothing.
I guess I'll beat off again.
Well, right. That's not boredom. That's in my day planner. That's literally,
you're making to hump that stuffed turtle.
I'm blocked off. Hey,
stuffed tortoise, excuse me.
Tortoise, thank you. Just be, you know, they live longer, so we get more love.
True.
Mm. But who are these people that are, when was the last time you were bored? Like, when you're like, I have nothing to do. I have nothing to do.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because on Saturday, when we were making plans to go out, and I kind of mentioned it'd be nice to do something different than just the usual bar hopping, which we did anyway, because it's Spokane. But I was actually thinking about how that was kind of the opposite of when I was, like, 18 years old. I don't think I've ever been more bored than when I was, like, 18, 19. Right in that little twilight gap, so to speak, where you're not old enough to go in any bars, but you're too old where, like, the usual kiddie shit bothers you, like hanging around the mall or doing whatever. So, you know, you just cruise around with your friends bored as fuck, talking about how bored you are, hoping some, like, girls randomly want to pull you off on the side of the road and, like, you know, fillet you. Yeah. But, of course, it didn't
happen. Only happened, like, every other Wednesday.
So, I mean. But, yeah, to answer your question, I can't really remember the last time I was bored, man. If I find myself with some downtime, I'm usually content playing around on Reddit, catching up on a TV show, maybe. I've been doing a lot of writing. Like, I don't get bored.
Not only do I not get bored, I don't know what downtime is. Like, I don't have downtime unless I take a vacation.
Sure.
Unless I'm out of town. And even then, I'm usually working on something or doing something out of town somehow. I mean, I really don't. People like, oh, I'm bored, I'm just relaxing. I'm like, I don't know what that means. I mean, like, I'll go float the river, but that's scheduled in to have a little fun.
Sure.
I don't remember this any time when I'm like, I have nothing I could do. I have more things to do than I will ever accomplish in my life. I will die with a list, a very long list of things to do. But so here's, I'm going to read some of you. It's 17 things to do. We're going to kind of skim through them. But
17. I thought 17, it was 7. Okay.
17.
Okay.
So number one was become obsessed with a paint by numbers masterpiece.
I don't even know what that is.
Paint by numbers?
I know what that is, but what's become obsessed with a paint by numbers, as in, like, make your own?
Make a really great one.
Oh.
Which is fine, except these are situations where I'm bored, not a retarded 27-year-old. Like,
I
don't
BuzzFeed.
I don't need a fucking, I don't need to do paint by numbers. Number two, paint all your cheapo jewelry with clear nail polish. So this is clearly a list for chicks. I mean, guys, like you said, guys have things like sports and beating off.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need, like, I'm never going to paint anything.
I'm not going to modify my jewelry.
Right. I don't have any jewelry to modify. Just my cock ring.
What is it? Well, they could use a little polishing up, I'm sure.
Well, it gets polished.
What do they mean, though? Paint your jewelry clear? Like, if you just have
Like, paint it with clear nail polish.
Supposed to give it a little more sheen?
So it gives it a little more sheen, yeah. Hmm. Send your long-distance friends surprise postcards.
Hmm.
So,
again, I'm not going to send my straight buddies a postcard. Like, hey, thinking of you, Dave. Well, how's Seattle?
Here's my thing. I don't even know where a fucking mail receptacle is anymore. I don't know how to send mail. Like,
That's the first time I've heard receptacle outside of sperm. Like,
dude, by the way, mail receptacle sounds like a gay bar name. Go to the mail receptacle.
Right next door to the White Swallow.
Yeah, that's right, in the back alley. But I don't even know where, like, a mail receptacle is. I don't know how to... Because I quit using mail years ago. You know this. I've told you the story. I was... I got out ahead of the curve on Congress and told the USPS they could go fuck themselves delivering my mail because I didn't fucking want it anymore. Which was, by the way, one of the best moments of my life when they...
I wish you recorded it.
I wish I could have, too. It's something about probably recording federal employees without their consent. I feel like there's a law against that somewhere.
It is allowed because they're public servants.
Hmm.
You can film them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was over the phone. And they quick backstory for the listeners. They wouldn't deliver my mail because I have a dog. My dog is about the most she's about as vicious as a sea sponge.
But that's a good way to put it. The problem is they're breedists, for lack of a better term. She's a pit bull.
Well, she is. So, she's a small pit bull.
But a pit bull nonetheless.
She is.
And as darling as she is, as sweet as she is, people see pit bull, and they want to assume that, you know, it's owned by a Mexican.
Which is true.
She's probably really aggressive.
She'd be outside sometimes on a tether, and they said that she tried to attack them. Never tried to attack. Well, they were unclear. They wouldn't be clear on whether she did or not. Which she never would.
No, she didn't. Yeah.
And she was unable to get to where the mail is anyway. But long story short, they stopped delivering my mail, and I said, "Fine, don't deliver my mail." Mm. And they said, "Well, you need to come get a P.O. box and come pick up your mail, or we're not going to deliver your mail anymore, or we just don't deliver your mail." And I said, "Or option C." You just fucking keep my mail, and I don't fucking want it. You can keep it.
Yeah.
They're like, "Well, what do you mean? We just keep it?" I go, "Yeah, I don't fucking want it. There's nothing. I don't get anything in the mail I want. I pay all my bills online. I have three bills I pay. They're all online. Beyond that, I don't fucking get anything in the mail I want, ever.
Yeah.
Nobody sends me a card. There's nothing.
Everything's private courier if you're getting a package.
Yeah, right. So, and they're like, "Well, what are we going to do with your mail?" I go, no, not my mail. Your fucking mail now. You don't want to deliver it. I don't want it. You do it. Do what the fuck you want with it."
Yeah.
And she was just so flabbergasted, which was amazing. Because no one has ever given her that reaction.
Yeah.
So it was very...
Never.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't give a shit. She goes, "Well, what do you want us to do with it?" I go, "You can fucking shove it up your ass for all I care." I'm like, "I do not want it. I don't care. Stop bothering me." And then eventually they just started delivering my mail again because it was probably piling up and they didn't know what to do with it.
Like, this asshole David Casillas, he wins, just give him shit.
Yeah, it was, it was a great victory for me, though. Number four is make booze more magical. And they've got, like,
it makes me booze, feel pretty magical already.
Booze pop, right? Yeah. I mean, they've got, like, booze popsicles here and stuff like that, but, I mean... I want to be down with this because I like booze, and I like
popsicles.
But why are we making getting drunk more complicated? Like, why are we trying to make this harder?
I mean, yeah, like, who came up with Jello shots? Like, I'll eat Jello shots if they're around. I'm not going to take the time to make fucking Jello shots.
No, do you know what you have while you're making Jello shots?
The actual alcohol.
Bottles of liquor.
You're not, like, distilling it to get the...
No.
You know,
yeah, it's, you're not...
You don't have to extract it from the Jello.
Right, the Jello isn't enhancing it or anything like that. And I'm not a 13-year-old girl that's about to get roofied at a party.
Yeah.
So I don't need a Jello shot. It's like, I don't understand... The bloom is not off the rose when it comes to drinking still for me. I don't need more creative ways of getting drunk.
I think if I was down in, like, Tahiti or somewhere, I would totally do the cocktail in a coconut with a little umbrella. I'd take it. I'd go there.
But that's just pouring it in a different you're still drinking the cocktails just in a cup. There's not That's much true. More work there.
That's true.
This is like taking it, mixing it with a mixture, freezing it, waiting for it. Like, you're like planning. Though this is actually worse than just buying a bottle and drinking, because you're planning ahead to get drunk. You are like, you are planning. You have made a date and time that you are going to get drunk off of these.
That's a good point.
But I mean, it's, you know, they've got all these other ways of drinking now. The like the eye shots, the butt funneling, and all these other things. It's like, why? What happened to just drinking?
Yeah. Straight up whiskey in a glass.
Yeah.
Or beer.
Well, and the problem is once you jump to like butt funneling, you can't. There's no. You can't go back and just order a beer. I feel like you've made your choice of how you consume alcohol, and there's no going back.
You should probably attend meetings at that point.
Yeah, you definitely need help.
Apparently, speaking of that, man, the people were doing that, and I guess it's pretty dangerous, man. I mean, something as little as a beer will just get you absolutely trashed and high risk of alcohol poisoning.
Right. Well, you absorb liquor through your small intestine like 90% faster or more than, so... It'll get you trashed.
Yeah.
Well,
people like taking drugs that way, too. So I've heard, you know, big-time ravers, like, put ecstasy up their ass.
Well, this is a true story. I know a girl. Truckers do this. They soak tampons in alcohol and put them up their ass. Because
That's not just an urban legend? That's like a real thing?
No, it's a real thing.
Wow.
And they get... gets them wasted, like, real quick. Quick delivery system. Okay? Well, they put them in and take them out. Quickly. This girl I know.
But why is this relegated to the truck drivers?
Well, because I think they're on the road driving. They can't, like, stop, and they can't be drinking, have smell like liquor. They just shove it up their ass and get the same buzz.
Sure.
So, this girl I know, who, well, it's just this girl I know.
She a local girl?
She's a local girl.
Have I met her?
I don't know if you know her, but she used to work at a place we hang out a lot. But I don't think you met her. You might have actually, you wouldn't remember. She did work at the previous place we used to hang out at a lot, too. She had to call into work one night, because this girl's a freak, too. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know. Okay, so she had to call into work one night because she had shoved a tampon, her and her boyfriend at the time, had shoved tampons of alcohol up their ass, but they didn't realize that you were supposed to take them out right away, and they left them in. They got extremely sick. Like, had to go to the hospital sick.
Jeez.
So,
brilliant.
Yeah, kids, just have a bull blaster and a PBR and call it good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep the puffing cat feces, whatever that phenomenon was, like 6 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
All the kids were huffing jars of shit.
Really?
I don't think it was real. I think it's some kid made a blog about. He took a picture of like a mason jar with like mud water in it and told people that he was like fermenting shit and piss. And that after a number of days, you open it and like huff it and it gives you like a wicked hallucinogenic high. And some news organization picked this up and of course was like, kids, the trend now. Kids across the nation are huffing shit to get high. It's like, no, it was all bullshit. They all traced it back to this kid's
blog. I
feel like
they would, though.
Yeah, you never
know. If it worked, I feel like they would. Okay, so there's a couple more I just want to breeze through here real quick. Number 5, do a puzzle. Fuck, the only puzzle a guy wants to work on is how do I find the G-spot? They don't give a fuck about
that. Any other, it's, like, how does my,
do some nail art, start a herb garden, whatever. Start a vinyl collection if you don't already have one. This I'm down with. I do dig vinyl, like records, dude. There's something about the imperfect sound.
A little pop and crackle.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, going to record stores, digging through the bins would be fun.
Yeah. The number 9 is refresh your middle and high school knowledge. I don't know about you, my high school knowledge extends to rolling a good joint and finger blasting 15-year-old girls. I feel like I probably shouldn't go back to that. I might get in trouble.
The 15-year-old girl part, you might. I think joints are okay now because we're in Washington.
Well, that's true. But, the joint thing's good. So finger blasting, no.
I'd go at least 16.
Okay. 16 in Montana. I mean, I don't know. Paint your different keys with nail polish. This one...
Okay, this is what I hate about fucking BuzzFeed, man. All their lists are the same thing, just reworded. Like, this comes up on another one. They call it, like, it was life hacks. Oh, that's something I wanted to talk about. But they call it life hacks. It's like, keep track of your keys by painting the tips with nail polish, like pink and green and shit.
Okay.
Like, I don't need to do that.
Well, how many keys do people have?
Well, first of all, they all look exactly the same.
Well, look, I'm not a janitor at Trump Towers, okay? I don't have fucking 1,000 keys.
You'd have a digital card anyway, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I've got like 5 keys. My fucking, I don't have a key for my fucking car anymore, you know? It's like, how many people have keys for their car even anymore?
Yeah.
I've got a house key, a key for the screen door of my house. That's about as far as it goes. Like,
yeah.
Am I going to mix up these two keys? Like, it's 50-50 shot, by the way, too. Like, how many keys do I have? I'm not a
fucking... Sounds like you should spend some time, kill some board, and paint one.
Paint one, just so I don't fuck it up. You know, yeah, there's a little picture.
Fancy.
Golden.
What are you going to hang that around your neck? It's...
Yeah. Rearrange all your books. Here's one. Get into origami. I think they're stretching it. Origami's like an early and often thing. I don't think at 31 years old I'm going
to
be like, start doing
you need
origami.
To make a paper
here.
Frog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend 7 minutes doing a workout.
Was this like some 6-minute ab shit?
Yeah, I'm cool with this one, but like, it's really sad that we have to ask fat Americans to do like, look, can you just do like 7 minutes of working out today? Or like 7 minutes is hard. That's like a tough, that's a stretch.
It's hard if you're doing like a 7-minute wall sit, but
right.
Otherwise.
Yeah, 10 minutes is, that's pushing it. Let's just do 7 minutes.
Yeah, you feel big guy.
When you're bored.
And a half if nobody's looking.
Burn a quarter of that Twinkie you ate today.
Yeah.
It's like, how about get off your ass and go fucking do something?
Yeah, go for a hike.
How about that one?
Go watch some birds.
Yeah, so anyway. So, yeah. Then the last one, find a podcast you love, download it a bunch, and take a very long walk and listen to it. So I'm down with that.
Was that number one?
Well, it was number 17.
Mm. What's number one? I don't even know if the list matters.
It doesn't matter. Number one was getting into list making. But not shitty lists like this.
Yeah. Fuck off, BuzzFeed.
There you go.
I hate that website. They take all their shit from Reddit anyway. Like, they'll find some popular topic on Reddit and make a whole list out of it, and then it gets passed around on Facebook, and it's annoying.
So,
Louis C.K. Don't know if you're a fan.
Yeah, right? Like Louis
C.K. He's got some good bits. He's got this interesting piece.
His show
about,
depresses me.
The show,
his
third
funny.
Season pissed me off.
I haven't ever seen. I won't
ruin it for you, but and we're getting off topic. But the whole third season is him having this shot at taking over David Letterman's position, and the whole thing is him just being like, ugh. I don't know. I mean, it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're being offered David Letterman's position.
Yeah.
Like, he just mopes about it the entire season. It's pretty obnoxious. But he's got a good bit about boredom. He's like, dude, there's no reason why you should be bored. Like, your mind has infinite capabilities.
Right.
There's always something to do. You should not be bored. It's like, my girlfriend gets pissed when I say this, but only boring people get bored, really.
Yeah,
well, like, get some personality.
That's
do
true.
Something.
Yeah, get a life, find something to do. I get some hobbies.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Just check out BuzzFeed for those, apparently.
Yeah.
My freaking allergies, man. Are you getting allergies? They went away for a while, but they've been kicking back in. It's kicking my ass.
I just did, barely at the start of the season, I had a little weird stint, but I usually don't get allergies that bad. I'm usually pretty good. When I first moved back to California, when I was 21, man, it kicked my ass. But I think their air quality there isn't quite the same as the Northwest.
Yeah, it's a little hazy from what I remember being down there. Man, so life hacks, I'll just touch on it real quick, nothing to get overly in-depth about, but I'm all for making things easier and more convenient, finding little tricks to enhance certain aspects of your life,
sure,
if you will. I get that. And everyone is using the word hack a little too liberally. It's like, it started with, I hacked my friend's Facebook page, made a post, status update, I am gay, I hacked your Facebook page.
Yeah.
No, he left his computer open with Facebook open. That's not hacking, that's you just going on his
account.
You
didn't, like, get in, you're not like a coder.
Yeah.
Going through the back end and, some shit.
Socially engineered his shit, figured out his password. Yeah, that's not hacking. But I'm seeing these lists, and BuzzFeed is a big culprit of it. Reddit has a huge section, it's under R Life Hacks. But it's all about, like it sounds, life hacks. And
I don't even know what that means.
But it's supposed to be like a little trick to hack your life to make it easier, to make your life simpler. And no shit, the whole
thing... That's not what hack means.
I know, exactly. That's part of the reason it annoys me. But one of the things that always comes up on these life hack lists is, like, paint your keys to tell them apart. It's like, that's not a fucking life hack. That's
right.
Just something you're doing to... not get confused about your male key and your door key. How's that a life hack?
Yeah, well, like I said, how many keys do people have?
Yeah.
I don't understand the... I mean, look, I'm all for making my life easier and more streamlined. Like, there are little things I do in life to make things more simple. Like, okay, so I used to do a lot of events and runs and, like, you know, Dirty Dash and Warrior Dash and all sorts of athletic events where you go to these events and your backpack gets thrown in a pile. Like, right. You bring your backpack, it just gets thrown in a giant pile. And afterwards... You're talking to a representative who's, you know, monitoring the backpacks don't get stolen, and you're trying to find your backpack with them. Well, what is every backpack? It's black with two shoulder straps.
Yeah.
Like, that's every backpack.
Most adult backpacks.
Right, exactly. You know, I you know, there's a couple Hello Kitty ones thrown in there, but...
A little Ninja Turtles one.
Yeah. So, when I was shopping for a new backpack, I got a camo one. And people always give me shit for it, and I go, no. First of all, my backpack's not a style statement. I don't give a fuck if it's a camo backpack. This was for ease. It took time that I was not wasting digging through a pile of black backpacks, a sea of black backpacks. I go, it's the camo one. Boom, there it is. It's the only fucking camo one sitting there.
Right.
So, that easy. So I understand doing things to make your life easier.
Ironically, your camo backpack is not for blending in.
Right, exactly. It's for standing out.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's like saying this whole life hack phenomenon, everyone's jumping on board with it. Media is using the term, the new life hack, yeah, but it's like, that's like saying that, oh yeah, I got Velcro shoes, so I don't have to tie them. Life hack! Not really.
No, I think
just not tying your shoes.
I think that just means you have Asperger's.
Yeah. The big old school New Balances with the thick soles, like navy blue or gray. Yeah.
That is the opposite of a life hack.
Yeah.
That's a, never mind. I don't want a bad joke.
That's okay. There's no lines here.
So, yeah, I'm all for making my life easier. I do a million things that, you know, to streamline that I think people should do to make your life more simple. Like, don't take the next step. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't take the next step. Like, I'm not getting crazy on this. I'm gonna let it go. I'll go.
You know what we're talking about.
I'll go on a rant. But here's someone who needs a life hack. I don't know if you saw this story. So there was a woman who discovered during a live radio segment that her and her husband are actually brother and sister.
This was radio and not like Maury?
No, this was live radio. She was meeting her mother on the radio. You know, it was they had like her long lost mother on the radio, and she met, like, called in and found out who she was. And she found out that the person she married, oh, I should say, is her half brother.
Still related by blood, though.
Still
more
related
so than
by
cousins.
Blood.
So.
They have a 6-year-old daughter together.
Jeez.
They both had been searching for their mother, knew their mother is the same name, but put it down to coincidence. Yeah. They were on a radio show in Brazil. The show specializes in reuniting lost relatives, and... turns out they were closer to some of their relatives than they realize.
Wow. What happens now? Are they like, well, I mean, we fell in love and we've got a kid together, so...
Well, after they stopped vomiting...
Yeah. Probably.
They say they're going to stay together. Okay. They have plans for the future. Nothing can break them up. Not even, you know, having... mongoloid children.
Yeah, I was going to say a new bloodline is born, and
nah, the same bloodline is born.
Yeah,
there's no. They're doubling down on the bloodline.
Wasn't that like the royal family? Wasn't it just like years of inbreeding? Didn't they all just like marry each
say.
Other?
And, yeah,
yeah. Like you said, mongoloid kids, like 9, like 16 toes. And
jeez, it's hard to tell. They're all also good looking.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the truth?
So how would you react if you found out 6 years, not even, it's got to be more than 6 years. They have a 6-year-old daughter, so they've been together for at least 7 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
A 7-year relationship, 6-year-old daughter, this is your sister. What's your,
I'm trying to look at it subjectively.
Again, after you stopped vomiting profusely.
Yeah, yeah. And took a bunch of showers and shit.
Yeah, just like scrubbing yourself with a bleach and a Brillo pad.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm trying to look at this subjectively, and I don't know. I kind of it's a tough one, man. Like my initial reaction wants to be like, ew, what the fuck? But I don't know, man. It's kind of like I don't know. I think I would probably be okay with it too. I mean, it's kind of like, this might be a bad example, but it kind of reminds me of, like, say, the Truman Show, that Jim Carrey movie,
okay,
where he's on a TV show and he doesn't know it. It's like that's his reality. That's all he's known. That's just what he accepts. That's normal, right, to him. These people have been together. They fell in love. They have these deep committed feelings. They got a kid together. They found out we're half siblings. Of course, it's going to be a bit of a shock. You're going to have the weird social aspect of it. But I think once you get past that, they're going to be like, "Eh, well, we already fell in love. What we have is real. Who cares if it's against like the social construct, social norms?"
All right. Well, after you found out that you're living in the Truman Show and it's all fake, are you going to stay performing in that Truman Show?
No, that's why that was a bad example. But that's a little bit different. Like what I was trying to get at is that's what they've known. And that's what they've accepted. That's just their life.
Yeah, but you know, if look, okay. So that's like saying that people that smoke cigarettes, if they never knew it was bad for them, and then they find out some information that's bad, that's like, well, I smoke cigarettes. I didn't know it was bad for me.
And they
I'm just
going to
keep smoking.
And they do.
Some people do, but you probably shouldn't.
Probably
you know
shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
But in this case, why shouldn't they? Who else is it affecting besides them?
And their children, and maybe more
Are
children.
Are their kids retarded?
Well, it doesn't use that language exactly,
but it can we
you know
infer
what?
From the article
they're
that...
Brazilian, so it's hard to tell.
<They're>, okay, fair enough.
No, the it doesn't say, but that's I don't know. I think I'd be out.
You just
I'd
can't do it anymore.
No, I'd
stick
go,
around
I'd go,
for the kid
I'd go
movie.
Fuck my cousin. Feel just
lessen a little bit.
Right, I'm jumping. Spread that bloodline a little thinner. I want at least my like a second cousin.
You know,
let's bang a second cousin. My half brother is a little half sister. That's a little too close to the vest.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
more power to him. God bless him.
Yeah.
They have a great future ahead. Great future ahead.
Family reunions must be awkward now. I mean,
well, you don't have to invite a lot of people.
That's probably true.
You can family. They have a family reunion every day when they wake up at the house.
And how disconnected are they? Were both of these kids estranged from their mother?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Sounds like a great mom.
Mm-hmm.
Good parenting. This is what happens when when parenting goes wrong. You end up banging your sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Let's put that on a billboard.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be made into some kind of quirky romantic comedy. Or we could put like
Jason Bateman and, or no, not Jason. Jason, what's his name? I feel like the guy who was from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, Siegel. Yeah.
Jason Siegel and Cameron Diaz in...
Yeah,
in
Bad Teacher.
In like, yeah, like...
Sibling Love.
Yeah.
Sibling Rivalry.
Yeah.
Starring Jason Siegel.
Siblings in Law or some stupid shit.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Huh. Or we could always put a... shit, what's that guy's name? Does all those weird-ass movies like Eraserhead, Mulholland Drive...
Oh.
Stephen Lynch? Something Lynch.
Oh, David Lynch?
David Lynch. Put a David Lynch twist on it.
Yeah.
And it'd be like just a steamy erotic porno.
And well, now I'm interested. Let's get the, not the Gyllenhaals. Let's get someone else in there. Some other hot brother-sister combo.
Use the Olsen twins, dress one up as a boy.
All right, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Getting creative.
John Stamos is the dad. So, yeah. Let's see. I got some other stuff going on here. You got anything else going on?
Nothing real article-wise. I got a couple things. I'm kind of in a complaining kind of mood. All right. You can't tell.
I like to complain.
Okay. Here's what I want to complain about, and this is going to make me sound like the biggest Grinch /asshole. And I'm okay with that. But I hate the fucking party trolley. In downtown Spokane.
Oh, okay.
That thing, man. Here's what really gets me about it. It's a chock full of all these adults that peddling down the street.
Does it seem like it's always it's like late 30, early 40s, like, we're going to have a quirky night out.
That's exactly what it is, dude. It's always, like mid-30s and up, people riding it, I feel like.
And then they're drunk and like, ah, like, laughing and yelling. They think they're really clever.
And they think they're being so cool and hip, and, like, everybody wants to be them. And, yeah, dude, that's what I was getting at. I live downtown, as you know. We're recording from here. And, you know, you hear it coming down the street, like, the cowbell, and then, no bullshit, every single person they pass by on the street, every car they pass, or rather, every car that passes them, they come up to a car at red lights, bells rattling, whistles blowing, them going, woo, woo, like, just, like, going ape shit, like, girls gone wild in Cancun. And I'm like, cool, you guys are, they literally do that to every single person they roll by at 2.5 miles per hour.
So, can you, I'm not even clear, can you drink on that thing?
From my understanding, you could, and then the LCB shut it down and said you can't. And yeah, then they got some special permit now where I think they can again.
Because that seems wildly, like, contradictory to so many other laws.
Yeah.
Like, we have an... It's you're not in like a tour bus where you have a separate section in the back and, the band guys are drinking or whatever.
Yeah.
You are in this open air... It's essentially just like a rickshaw, you know. It's like a 12-person rickshaw with some fucking Cambodian dude in the front pedaling his ass off. Or he doesn't even pedal. You have to pedal, don't you?
He sits there and steers it, yeah. And then they bark at you if you don't pedal. Like, you're not number three. You're not pedaling. Like, yeah, I've seen that a couple times.
Okay, so like what? Where? I'm not sure the value here. Where's the fun in this?
It's expensive to ride, from my understanding, and yeah, it's you're feeling fun and quirky out in the open. It's another way of, instead of walking to the next bar you're going to, you're pedaling. I just don't get the appeal.
I walk faster than they go on that pedal.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't meander.
That's true. We walk with purpose.
We call a callback, yes. Folks. So I don't get it. I have no interest. I have no, like, zero interest. It looks like negative 0 points to me, actually. Like,
thank you. Absolutely. Like, my sister and girlfriend have been like, that looks fun to ride. I'm like, that's because you're a chick. But, you couldn't pay me to go on that thing. I would just feel like a douche. And I'm sure there's all kinds of forms you have to sign, release forms, safety forms. I want to know, is there a form they're required to sign that insists that they shout at every passerby on the road? Because that's what every single person does. Like, they're required to, or they're going to get kicked off.
Yeah, but...
It's like, shut the fuck up.
Because that's what it is. It's you know, some 43-year-old girl, that lady who hasn't been... A bunch of 43-year-olds who haven't been out in a while. They've had, two glasses of Chardonnay, and they're feeling like raging out. You have to take their top off, which I'm okay with, by the way.
Depending.
Spokane Vibe endorses that. But I mean, there's no 21 run, like 21-year-old dudes are like, let's get on the party trolley and pedal our asses off. It's like, no, let's go to the bar and drink. Like, I'm going to walk at the bar.
It's a nice summer night. I think I'll take a stroll.
Well, not only that, how far away are the bars?
Yeah.
What are they, 3.5, 4 miles away?
Yeah.
I mean, at least, right? They've got to be... Some 8 miles away. I mean,
5 miles uphill both ways.
Yeah, it's just you're like a block away from 5 more bars.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's true.
How much work do we need to put into like making it more complicated to get to these bars?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Well, fuck. No interest. No interest.
Good. Glad to hear it. Spokane Vibe does not endorse Party Trolley.
No.
But I know I sound like a Grinch, but I mean, really, it is a neat little business. You know, they're making some money at it. It's kind of fun. So it's not the Party Trolley I hate. It's the people that ride it, I guess. But either way. If you could just pipe down and keep your arms inside the ride, that'd be great.
So speaking of people who hate other people, okay. I've got an interesting piece I was looking at. It's a new... app that's called Sketch Factor.
Okay, haven't heard it. Haven't heard of it.
Do you want to guess what it's about? Just by the name Sketch Factor.
Is it supposed to be kind of like Paint with Friends, I think it was called? Like, you get hooked up with a random person, you have to like draw something, they have to guess what it is?
Good guess. You guess by the name.
Yeah.
This is actually an app that basically shows you... How to stay away from black neighborhoods.
That is great. That is great.
I'm going to show you this picture. This is a terrible pod, but Brian, look at the picture of the two people who created it.
We'll post a link to it.
They're too,
Dude, she sucks. I bet she sucked all kind of black dick in college, man. Look at that girl.
I think you're right. She looked like she was like a cheerleader at, you know, ASU or something.
She let the football team run a train on her.
Yeah, probably. And he looks like the poor man's... This is gonna be if I'm pulling up off a bad reference here, this is gonna look like the poor man's Mark Paul Gosselaar from Saved by the Bell: The College Years.
That is a very obscure
reference. Or is anyone with me there? Maybe I'm losing.
I don't even know what he looks like, but no, I didn't watch the College Years one.
Oh, well, you're missing out. Prime time, baby. So yeah, this app, it doesn't specifically advertise that it's keeping you away from black neighborhoods. But that's what it is. It's just all the black neighborhoods, basically.
Does it say just sketchy, questionable neighborhoods? Are we supposed to infer from that they mean black or Puerto Rican neighborhoods?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's a racist app. It's made for avoiding sketchy neighborhoods, which is the term young white people use to describe places where they don't feel safe because they watched all 5 seasons of The Wire, is what this article says.
That's pretty good, actually.
It rates the relative sketchiness of certain areas in major cities. It was launched in New York, and... one of the ladies who helped create it is a Los Angeles native, so basically she can go nowhere in LA. She can go to Santa Monica and feel safe. That's it. Yeah, this is just it's amazing.
User rated? Like if we were here, we were like, we put in like Hilliard's zip code or something. If Hilliard gets enough votes, the aggregator is like, stay away from this neighborhood.
Not black people there.
Yeah.
I think maybe they. I don't know, maybe it checks the melatonin in people's skin color in certain areas. I'm not sure. It doesn't say how it determines what these areas are, how they determine if they're bad or not, or sketchy. Mm. I guess it's pretty subjective. There's kind of like, I don't like that area. But places like, you got to wonder what, I'd like to get this app and find what places they actually appear think are bad, because I've had people tell me that like they think areas in Spokane are sketchy or like the ghetto, and it's fucking laughable.
Like back to Hilliard. Hilliard's the rough area, but it's like it's not even that bad.
No, it's like where I'm moving from. You know, you've been to my house I'm moving from. When I move there, people are like, oh, you live in the ghetto, and I go, the ghetto. I go, everyone around me is over 65 and on Social Security.
Yeah.
Like, it's an old neighborhood. Does ghetto mean old in Spokane? Because then, yes. But, like, there's no crime. Mm-hmm. There's no gangs. There's no drug dealers. There's no fucking drive-by shootings. There's no police helicopters flying over. It's like, where's the ghetto? I don't understand.
Yeah. There's no known meth houses in your exact area.
Right. That term gets thrown around way too loosely now.
Like, sketchy and ghetto?
Well, sketchy is one thing. Ghetto, like, sketchy is core, like, all right, that's a little sketchy. I could see someone saying, like, I wouldn't say that about the area I lived in either. But sketchy is one thing. To me, ghetto is a completely different thing. And maybe I have a different perspective growing up in L.A. than most people do.
Most of the white bread kids here.
Yeah.
Probably a little different.
Yeah.
Yours is more real, I would say.
Well, people like, the gangs in Spokane. I'm like, gangs? I've never seen a fucking gang or a gang member in Spokane. I've never seen one person in Spokane where I was like, oh, better steer clear of them.
Yeah.
You know, you see people all the time in L.A. where you're like, yeah, you probably don't want to, like, look that person in the eye for too long, or you just kind of keep moving. Just keep moving.
Right.
So, yeah, it's comical. You know, I've heard people say, too, like, they've been downtown Seattle, and, oh, I was like, hustle back to my hotel. I didn't feel safe in downtown Seattle at night.
Oh, shut up.
I'm like, really?
That's what cracks about. You turn this on to the Moore Hotel.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reviews are like, yeah, it's a great place, man. It's cheap as shit for being in the heart of the town.
Right.
Nice place.
You can walk to Pioneer Square. You can walk to Belltown.
Belltown.
You know, you can walk all over. You're a couple blocks from Pike's Place Market.
Uh-huh.
You can walk everywhere, and it's super inexpensive.
Yeah, and a lot of the Yelp reviews and TripAdvisor reviews are, oh, it's pretty sketchy. It's ghetto. It's like, no, what it is downtown in a big city. At nighttime, you're going to see some heroin junkies and crack users. Like, Doesn't mean you're in the ghetto.
I've stomped around all over Seattle, downtown Seattle night, and I know you have too, and I've never once felt threatened, intimidated, or even close to the point of, like, anything was going to happen.
Yeah, not at all.
And maybe it's just my lifetime of growing up in big cities that it was just like, shit doesn't faze me or doesn't bother me. It's like, yeah, there's going to be some homeless people. They might talk to you. Or they might say, hey, just be like, hey, what's up, man? Just, or like, nah, do you have any spare change? No. And just keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, don't engage. And, like, you know, you walk around, you may see some homeless guy piss in an alley or something. Okay. I don't think I'm going to get stabbed with a rusty fucking, you know, like a rusty switchblade or something like that. I'm okay. But people just people are too fucking scared. Dude, one place I worked at, I used to tell everyone there, like, when I first moved to Spokane, I'm like, you fucking white people are scared of everything. I always tell them, you people are scared of everything. You know, I have people who say downtown Spokane is scary at night.
Yes, I've heard that. And yeah, there's a rash of these street kids and shit. But you know, for all these, and I've seen, you know, my girlfriend's car was stolen, it was broken into, but people always talk about how sketchy, back to that word, downtown Spokane is, especially at night. It's like, would I want Christina walking around at 3 a.m. across town by herself? Probably not. But I've never seen any incidents where, like, this knockout game that was supposedly going on downtown where these street kids run up and, like, smack from behind trying to knock you out. Like, I never saw that. I think most of this is just some, like, hyped-up bullshit that gets passed around. Like,
yeah.
Not that crime doesn't happen down here, but it's not to the degree that people make it out to be. I've lived down here for 5 years, and other than, like, the gunshot that happened at Lion's Lair 6 months ago, whenever that was, shit doesn't happen.
No, very little actually happens. I mean, it's fun to think that Spokane's cooler than it is and more shit goes down, but not a lot going down.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot going down, so.
Exactly. But, I mean, hell, we got people in open air on the party trolley. How bad can it be?
Yeah, no kidding. So,
so let's see what else we got.
I'm trying to figure out what I want to. We got some time left, but I know we got a couple reviews we want to do on a movie and a restaurant too.
We do. Before that, I've got a small game though.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, not even sure to really call it a game. This is just something fun that I was thinking about.
All right, I like fun.
Fun is good. I was having this conversation with a buddy the other day. Everyone's probably thought of this at one point, but it was the superpowers conversation. Like, if you could have any superpower in the world, what would it be? And that led to a mixture of talking about it with sports. If you could have one superpower that only applied to sports, it could be any sport, croquet, golf, basketball, you name it, and it could only do one thing, what would it be? And, like, to give you an example, say you wanted to play, your sport could be baseball, and your superpower is where you bat 1,000. No matter what, you're going to hit that ball.
Okay.
Like, same kind of thing. If you could, like, have a power like that and apply it to any sport, what would you do? I meant to text you about this last week so you could think about it. But,
That's right. So my obvious answer would be wanting to go to basketball.
Of course.
Because that's my game. I would say my superpower would be to I want to play basketball, and my superpower would be to not be able to get HIV from the groupies.
Just raw dog your way through all the.
I love you, Magic.
That's right. You are a Lakers man.
Showtime baby, Magic, greatest basketball player of all time.
Really?
So, in this broadcaster's humble opinion,
I see. Okay.
Fuck Michael Jordan.
All right.
Actually, let's be real. Bill Russell's the greatest basketball player of all time. The guy's 11 fucking rings, people. No one ever brings his name up. The goddamn MVP trophy, the championship MVP trophy, is called the Bill Russell Trophy for a reason. The guy won fucking 11 titles. He's fucking amazing.
What era was this?
Bill Russell?
Yeah.
60s, 70s.
Oh, okay. Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And so a guy like that, we're getting off topic here, but a guy like that played, what teams did he play for?
He played for the 76ers, and who else did he play for? Bill Russell. I should know this.
You should. I'm a little surprised, actually, and I'm starting to question your actual true love to the NBA.
Sorry, I was only alive for so long in the 60s and 70s. Oh, he played for Boston for a long time.
So, Gally,
he never played for Philly. He played for Boston. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then he had some, actually played till 69 was his last year. It was all for Boston.
So, the NBA was popular, but this was before the big $1 million contracts and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is he making money? Like, is he making any kind of money nowadays?
He qualifies for the pension. program. There's a pension for professional athletes. I don't know if he does anything else. I mean, he certainly isn't making money as a player anytime. I mean, I don't know if the NBA has him like as a representative, like ambassador that they pay him. Probably something. You know.
So he should have just made it, saved up his money, retired like any normal person would back then, and lived comfortably off that.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, 11 fucking rings this guy won as a player, okay? That makes Jordan's 6, Kobe's 5, you know. Let's talk this guy.
Sure.
So he was pretty fucking amazing.
Okay, so anyway, what would your power be?
Well, I think I just said.
Oh, okay, that's your answer. You're like, I could be a shitty player, but as long as I'm not getting HIV from the groupies.
Fuck yeah, dude, that seems more important than the, okay. I would want to. I think I just want to be. I don't know. I don't know which way to go. If I want to make this funny or just be realistic.
just do both.
Well, I mean, realistically, I'd want to be fast as a basketball player.
Sure.
Like super speed.
Okay.
So.
I thought you'd go a little more grand here. Like maybe like never miss a hook shot or something. Like no matter where you are on the court.
Well, if we're gonna do that, why a hook shot? This isn't 1972.
I was just trying to step it up a little bit from your
sky hook.
I was just trying to step it up a little bit from like your humble. I'd run really fast.
Like, I know. I'd be really fast. Like my hands are fast too, so I can dribble fast. I can move fast. All right, well, let's go for. I can dunk from anywhere on the court.
Yeah. Okay. And people, just, they're like, wow, this guy's really good.
He can dunk. He can dunk from the other side of the court. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
Get a really good leap. Yeah. I think my answer I picked.
Seems believable as a 6'1" Mexican being able to jump across a court.
Are there any Mexicans?
Yeah.
In the NBA?
Jose Calderon.
Oh, okay. Huh.
That's it.
Gotcha.
There was a Puerto Rican guy, JJ Barea.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's any of those in hockey. There's like 2 black guys in hockey, but I don't know if there's any actual Latinos. Yeah.
I don't know.
But my sport would be bowling.
Okay.
And I would roll a perfect game every single time. And then essentially I'd become the Tiger Woods of bowling.
Well, you'd have to be like your skin tone would have to change for that.
Well, I'm sure I could afford some treatments.
I think there's
at
plenty of Canadian Americans in bowling.
But no one. But think, can you name a famous bowler? I fucking can't.
Yeah.
Besides like the dude and you, Woody Harrelson from Kingpin.
Do you want to know a great story? Probably told you a story.
Maybe. Go for it.
I probably shouldn't tell this story on air because people are going to listen to this and think I'm an asshole, but that's okay. I'm going to anyway.
Well, they don't have that opinion by now.
Yeah. So I'm in Vegas. This was several years ago. And God, I wish I could completely remember this guy's name. But I want to say like, so anyway, we got to Vegas. I'm with my cousins. We used to do this trip to Vegas every year. My friends and I in California, my cousins and some friends, called Dirty Dozen. Do it every year. We go to Vegas for March Madness, bet on all the games, stay for the weekend, you know,
nice.
Just debauchery. Well, the last time we all actually went, which was a couple years ago now, the first night we were there, one of my cousins and I, we were out, and we're pretty good at picking up ladies together. And there's these two girls who were in the same hotel as us, and we saw them, we talked to them, and, you know, we're like, okay, they weren't tens, but they weren't fives. They were like, you know, at the end of the night, if nothing else works out, like we flirted with them. We're like, all right, well, we're going to go our separate ways because it was our first night in Vegas. We're not going to blow our load on this. We got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
So every day we'd see them. We're in the same hotel and, you know, this and that. And on the last night we were there, we run into them. We've kind of run out of steam at this point. This is fifth day in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Too long.
People get burnout after two.
Oh, dude.
Whatever.
Like, way too long, yeah. So I'm like, okay. Like, well, I'm not going to the clubs. I don't have the energy to, like, go hit on a lot of women. Like, this is just easy. Let's just, we go get a couple drinks and then hotel room, right? No problem. So we go, we're hanging out with them, and we're standing inside the lobby of the four of us inside of like Caesars or something. And I'm looking out the glass doors and we're waiting for cabs and there's a line. And I see this super hot chick standing in line by herself. And I'm looking at her and I look at my cousin. I'm like, and I just kind of like start drifting outside. I just drift outside. And I'm like, and he's like, what do you know? I'm like, I'm gonna check on a cab. And I go out there. And I start talking to this blonde girl, just chatting. I'm like, hey, how you doing? She goes, oh, nothing, you know, just going out. I'm like, pretty girl like you going out by yourself all alone? You're like, what's going on? It was, oh, my friends went back to the hotel room. They didn't want to hang out anymore, so I'm going out. I'm like, oh, that sucks. I'm like, well, where are you headed? And I don't remember what she said. Probably, I don't know, whatever. Who fucking cares? You know, Luxor. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's where I'm going too. You know? And she goes, you want to split a cab? She goes, yeah, sure. So I look inside, and my cousin and the two girls are looking at me, and I just wave. Bye! And my cousin, the girls have this look of like, is he leaving without us with that girl? I like, kind of put my arm and get in the cab with the girl. And my cousin's like, you son of a bitch.
Well, he's getting two for the price of one now.
He wasn't getting two. The other girl didn't like him.
Oh.
So I was the glue. Gotcha. So I'm like, ah, fuck this. I upgraded. Because she was hot. The other girls, like I said, were okay.
Yeah.
We get in the cab. And I'm like, so what are you doing here? And, you know, her name was Michelle. And I go, she goes, I'm here for my dad. I'm here, you know, with my family. They have a thing going on here. I'm like, oh, what's your dad do? I'm like, she's like, it's nothing, it's dumb. And I'm like, well, no, what's he do? She's like, he's actually a bowler. I'm like, your dad's a professional bowler? And she goes, yeah. I go, oh, I'm like, I love bowling. I'm like, what's his name? You know? And I forget his name. It was like Dwayne Cooper or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm like, and this was like an Oscar award winning acting moment. I go, holy shit, your dad is Dwayne Cooper? He's fucking good. Like, he's won, like, and I'm just trying to hope.
Yeah.
I'm like, won titles and stuff. He's like won tournaments. And she's like, yeah, you've heard of him? Like, have I heard of him? He's like one of my favorite bowlers. He's awesome. And she's like, yeah, our house in Minnesota is like full of trophies and stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God. I go, my friends will never believe me that I met Dwayne Cooper. It's like, never believe me. And so she's just instantly like smitten. Just thinks, okay, you know, because cool. Like I know who her dad is. Anyway, we go out, have a couple drinks, end up back at her hotel room. Nothing happened. We were very nice.
Keep it PG. You know,
keep PG. Yeah. I do remember that I woke up in the bed of her hotel room with her. And I remember I woke up, and I'm like, I gotta go. And I wake up, and on my way out the door, there was a 30-pack untouched beer. I look at it, and I just, like, grab it and walk out the door. So, sorry, Michelle, if you're listening. So, yeah, that was my experience with professional bowlers.
All right. Did you carry her around like a bowling ball?
There were three fingers and some holes.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So, yeah, it was good times.
Sweet. Well, what happens in Vegas does not stay there. Sorry, Dwayne Cooper.
I figured
your daughter got defiled in Vegas on your bowling trip.
Well, I didn't say defiled. Let's not get crazy.
You didn't have to say it.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah, it was great. The best part was later when I met back up with my cousin who was still with the girl. With the girls. They're like, where were you? And I'm like, bye.
Smell my dick.
Yeah, like, I gotta go. I gotta get it out of here. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Well, we should wrap. Do a couple quick reviews, then wrap up.
Yep.
The other night we had some dinner and we saw a movie.
Mm-hmm. It was not a date though, so don't get that idea.
No. Well, you know, at this point in our relationship, it's not a date. It's just, you know, we gotta make time for each other. You know. So.
Pencil it in.
Let's start with dinner. We went to a new spot downtown called Nudo.
Right.
Which is on Sprague. Right?
Was it? Yeah.
Right Sprague. Behind, right on the corner from Post Street.
Or First or some shit, yeah.
It's on Sprague.
Okay, Sprague.
So, heard people raving about it. They got the ramen burger and, you know, the whole thing. So, interesting ambiance. What I realized the next day when I started thinking about it is that place must have... taken like a couple day laborers and $400 to make that place into what it is.
Yeah, right.
It's a shell. There's bench seating down each wall, a couple seats along the walls with chairs, and then one big long like lunch room table in the middle.
Yeah.
So
it's like a fancy cafeteria.
Yeah, kinda. And then just a little square cutout for the bartender at the very end of it, you know, which had looked like very limited selection of beer and alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, they only had like three beers on tap, right?
Yeah.
And the Sparrow and...
So
it's all right, people don't go there for the beer, they go there for the
the rum.
Overpriced ramen.
Yeah. And we both had, let's see, what we got the coconut shrimp
right
appetizer, mm-hmm. and the ramen burger.
Right.
So
the thing everyone raved about. I've got a full review coming on Spokane Vibe, as I believe you do as well. I don't want to give away too much of it, but to wrap up, to put my thoughts in a nice little bow, I'd go back. I'd try another dish. You know, I don't know if it was just the hype, but I didn't go into it with incredibly high expectations. I usually don't when there's something kind of gimmicky like that and trendy, which the ramen burger is currently. Like you said on Facebook, good patty. The beef was cooked well. My big bitch is that they call it Kobe beef, and unless it came from a cow named Kobe, it is not Kobe, beef. It was not until like a year ago that the ban was lifted on Japanese meat being imported into the U.S. There's only 3,900 head of cattle per year with Kobe beef, and it's going to like Australia, Europe, other parts of Asia, so what's left over for America to get is very slim. Mm-hmm. So there's no way a little place in Spokane is getting Kobe beef, let alone charging $11 for a full meal.
Yeah.
That burger would be like $50-$60 if it was really Kobe.
Yeah.
And restaurants are just calling it that. They're pulling a fast one on, I mean, most people aren't educated and like, oh, I'm getting real Kobe beef. And no, you're not. That was just regular ass Angus.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, the burger was good. I feel like the burger was a little small but perfectly cooked. The actual ramen was, it didn't add anything to it.
It didn't. To me, it was almost like eating a mushy bun.
Yeah.
So that's really all it was.
Well, and it was somewhere between handheld and fork and knife, so at a certain point, I didn't know if I was supposed to cut it or carve it up. It really kind of, it had a heavy teriyaki sauce type thing, which really carried it, carried any taste in it, I think.
Yeah.
The coconut shrimp was just bad.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. I love cream and dairy in general, but that was just rich. It's like it's almost like someone was trying to make shrimp cereal with cream. Like the way you pour milk on your Rice Krispies or Captain Crunch, that's what the shit was like with cream.
It was just this heavy cream coconut sauce, and that's what made the flavor, not any of the breading on the shrimp.
Exactly.
So, you know, and not only that, the ambiance, I think I said this at dinner, the ambiance, that the aesthetics of that place is like a Duran Duran song.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You will be able to pinpoint the month, day, and year it was created, like it was made.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Because, you know, any Duran Duran song, you listen to Union of the Snake, you're like, oh, 1981.
Yeah.
March 2nd, 1981. You listen to, or you go into Nudo, and you can tell, like, oh, that was completely 2014. Like, that was a 2014 place. And I think in 5 years, it's going to look super dated, because that hip trendy thing is like so right now that in 5 years it's going to be past that and it's going to look awkward.
Yeah, it will. It's that style of artwork also, like where
that pop art.
Yeah,
there's like a certain Asian pop art.
Yeah,
yeah,
where it's big dots like on the print and it's got like a woman crying. It's like a word bubble. There's a certain term for that kind of style. I forget what it is right off the top of my head, but yeah, I agree. It's going to look dated. What I did like about it, as far as the ambiance goes. And being like located right next to that fire pizza place, I like how the doors are open. You can walk in right off the street in the nice summertime. The garage door is up. It was very hip and trendy right now. It almost felt like somewhere you'd walk across, like in downtown Seattle or Chicago. And like that was cool.
Yeah, but the big doors, like I said, you're like, I like this. It's great for summertime. Like I said, it's great for summertime. Tell me about it during the 8 months of winter.
Yeah, seriously.
What are we doing then?
It's true.
So,
but I'd go back. I'd give something else a try.
I'd be hesitant to. Just because I don't need a big bowl of ramen soup.
Yeah, it's kind of like that with meals.
That's not a meal. Yeah. Pho, I fucking hate pho, too.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't need $14 soup.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
Some mint leaves and some salt bouillon or chicken bouillon and salt.
Some sprouts.
But, yeah, no thanks. I want a meal. So, I would, for me, it's a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
6 of 10 for me. Kind of thing, so
probably a 6.5, maybe 7.
You're giving it better marks than I did, apparently. Yeah. But so anyway, onto something we both loved, or I believe we both loved.
I thoroughly enjoyed.
We saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
I straight up loved it.
You did.
I actually kind of want to go see it again.
Really?
Yes. Huh. Yes.
There were some surprises in there, like the dialogue and some of the lines they spit out. It was like a pleasant surprise, like just kind of came out of nowhere. Like the line about his spaceship looking like a Jackson Pollock painting, if you took it.
Black light into it.
Yeah. Great writing, good story, just well done, very well done overall.
Yeah, I'm not real... It was directed by James Gunn, who I'm not real familiar with what else he's done. Although we were looking it up the other day. I think he did Cabin in the Woods, didn't we? He said he'd done that. Is that what we...
He had very limited directing credits, I remember.
Yeah, he... let me find out here. I want to look him up. I remember I was not familiar with almost anything he'd ever done. But let's find out. Scooby-Doo. Let's find out what he's actually directed. Because I think he just wrote on Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay.
Directed Slither.
Right, that was it, Slither. That was enjoyable.
He directed Super.
Don't even know what that is.
That was a weird movie with Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page. Where Rainn Wilson decides to become like a superhero, kind of, and Ellen Page wants to be like a sidekick, and they have a really weird sex scene.
Oh, right, yeah, totally about that.
It's super hard to beat off to, but...
Yeah, right.
I got a thing for Ellen Page, you know that. Even though she turned les, I still do. I don't know what it is. There's something about her. It's sexy to me.
Huh.
I was not real familiar with what he'd done. I thought... This movie was just... The writing was great.
It was.
The only thing is, there were a couple scenes where it's too CGI, and I felt like I was going to have a seizure. Just too much happening too fast, all CGI. But overall, God, great movie. I would go see it again.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I never... And this is coming from a guy who never... I didn't even know what the hell it was until I saw a preview for it.
Sure.
Like Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. I was like, what the fuck is
it? It's a pretty obscure comic book.
Which I found out... So coming from a guy that had no background on it whatsoever, it was enjoyable. I was trying to get my girlfriend onto it, because I think she would have at least somewhat enjoyed it, but... Man, I want to see a talking raccoon.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't need to be a comic book fan or a Marvel fan to enjoy this movie. It's just like, it's a fun sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
You know? You could completely remove it from any universe, or any shared universe, and never be any the wiser.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what it all came down to. It was just a fun movie. I am looking forward to the sequel.
Yeah, I am also.
That should be good.
And I am honestly looking forward to seeing it again. I'll probably go see it again before it's at the theater.
Okay.
I would imagine.
I might go see it again if it was at the
Garland or something.
Yeah, I'd go catch it for a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Get a drink of the Bonbon first.
You can drink in the Garland now.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Nice. Oh, you can. I remember that, because right before Christina got roofied at Revolver North, we were at the Bon Bon, and the doors connect into the theater, and she's like, yeah, bring your drinks on back. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Would you call it a perfect film?
For its genre, for what it was trying to be, yes.
I like that you said that, for what it's trying to be, because this kind of is something I've been wanting to discuss. We're about 6-7 years late to the game on this one, but I rewatched Hitch. Recently.
Hitch.
Yeah.
Was that with Will Smith?
And Kevin James. Love me some Kevin James, as corny as he is.
I never saw it.
Basically, you remember the premise. This guy's Alex Hitchens. Hitch. He's a date doctor. He goes around and gets guys.
His name's Alex Hitchens?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck this movie already. I've already hated this movie.
and he goes by Hitch.
It's like that. What was that Tyler Perry movie you just did where it's like Good Deeds, or his name's like. He's called like Good Deeds. And his name's like John Deeds. Or you're like, fuck you.
I hate shit like that. Yeah, when they call like a TV show or something by the character's name, like the importance of being Ernest. Like the character's name is Ernest. Like,
right,
yeah,
right.
I agree, dude. That's stupid and cheesy. They also call him Hitch because it's a play on words. He's getting him hitched with.
Yeah. Oh, convenient that he happened to be like, you know, the guy who is getting people married.
His name is Hitch. Yeah.
Yeah, his name is Hitch. It's like these guys, like, it's like in Spider-Man, like Otto Octavius, you know, just happens to turn out to become the supervillain Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
They go, and your name was Otto Octavius? That seems pretty
coincidental. Yeah, what's going on there?
The alliteration there is just flawless, you know? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cheesy. But what I was getting, I was kind of hoping you had seen it. Like, maybe you watched it for some weird reason because you wanted to beat off to Eva Mendez, but...
Is she in that?
Yeah. She's the lead. But anyway, cliched story. This guy helps otherwise kind of just general schmucks get dream dates with their dream girl. And then, of course, he's the forever single guy. She's the forever single woman. They meet. He tries to make it happen. There's some friction. Anyway, cheeseball movie, but it's a perfect film. in the sense that for who it was made for. Like, I rewatching it, I was like, wow, there's a whole scene where this asshole, like, Wall Street hotshot guy, he meets with Hitch, he gets an appointment with Hitch, and he's like, so anyways, what's it going to take? I really want to bang this girl. And Hitch is like, well, excuse me? You know, the lead character, he's like, excuse me? He's like, yeah.
And that's Will Smith, right?
Yeah. He's like, I just want to bang this chick. What's it going to take? He's like, no, I think you misunderstood. I don't help guys hit it and quit it. That's not my thing. I help guys meet a girl to fall in love. And it's just like things like that. I'm like, okay, that's the teenage women, like, that was written perfectly for that crowd. Yeah. And then this guy's like, look, man. He both pulls out his checkbook. He's like, how much money do you want? I just want to get in this girl's pants. And then Will Smith ends up, like, roughing him up a little bit. And I'm like, this movie is genius. They wrote it so perfectly for the demographic.
All right. I can't argue with it too much. I don't never seen the movie.
I'm not calling it a great film, but it is perfect for its demographic.
Yeah.
Let me explain. Like, what is a perfect film?
You and every other 22-year-old Sigma Nu.
You know.
freshman or what? All right. I've never seen it, but yeah, go on.
I know, it's just what I was driving at. Like, it's, and then that leads me to what makes a perfect film? You know, is it subjective, or are there things you could think you could lay out that makes a film perfect?
No, I think there are things you can lay out. It's somewhat I think it's less subjective than it is literal.
Sure.
Because, you know.
But according to whose standards?
Well, mine, because I'm usually right. Well, that's when I say usually, I mean always.
Okay.
So I know better than most people, and I'm smarter than most people. So like, you know, I think I've told you this story. I was on a date one time with a girl, and I was struggling to find anything to talk about with this girl.
Okay.
You know, just anything. And she doesn't do much. She just hangs out. Doesn't read. We don't have any conversation there. We get to movies. She's like, oh, I love movies. I'm like, oh, great. It's film.
I have heard this.
Like, I love movies, too. I love film. Like, and I go, well, okay, so what's your favorite movie? You know,
hoping for at least a Mean Girls,
right? Or, you know, I would have been half satisfied with a Notebook at this point,
sure,
like something ridiculous, or, you know, Parent Trap. I don't give a shit. She goes, "Oh, Freddy vs. Jason."
Oh my god, I'd be like, "This is over. You're getting a bill."
I'm like, "Excuse me," and I go, "No, no." And at first, I thought she was like,
I picture her like twirling her hair, like smacking gum while she says this. Like, I don't know, Freddy vs. Jason.
She's just a fucking moron, and I'm just like. And I'm like, oh, no, I mean, and I give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, I don't mean, like, your guilty pleasure. Like, I love this movie. You know, like, there's some shitty movies I love. Like, I love Sharknado.
Yeah.
It's a shitty movie, mm-hmm. but it is fun. It's a fun movie. So I'm like, I'm okay with that. If you have, like, some shitty movie, it's just entertaining for you.
Yeah.
Like, there's sometimes you need the McDonald's of movies, you know?
Yeah.
Just shit. And she goes, like, no, but, like, your favorite, it's a great movie, well done. And she's like, yeah, Freddy vs. Jason. Like, you're fucking serious right now?
Have you only seen one movie?
Yeah, is that the only thing you've ever seen? Yeah, I literally got him, like, I told her, I go, I don't think this is going to work. And I threw some money on the table, and I just left. I'm like, I got to go. I can't fucking do this. But what makes a perfect film is... Again, you gotta, like you said, you gotta shoot for what you're doing. People put expectations on movies, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, oh, well, that wasn't a great film, or, you know, like, comedies get beat up by critics a lot for not being a great movie because it's not, you know, Saving Private Ryan or something like that. It's like, it's not trying to be that. It's just trying to be a comedy. So judge it for being a comedy, whether a lighthearted comedy or a dark comedy. Judge it for what it is in that category. Is it a good version of that?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So, I don't know, there's what makes a perfect movie is, that's a good question, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to have good plot, well written, it's got to be a good length. I think too many movies hit too long these days.
It's like a trend right now, it's the 2.5-hour movie, just like normal, I don't like it.
2 hours, 2:40, I mean, that shit kills me.
Yeah.
You know, develop a little character... make us care a little.
Yeah.
You know, just well-paced. I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
But
something to think about for next time, perhaps.
Maybe that's what we should do. Make a list of what we think are perfect movies.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. We'll have that ready for next week.
So, all right.
Like, what perfect movies are and what makes them perfect.
Yeah.
And then, like, what kind of compare our lists.
See what we come up with.
And then see if we can, like, determine some kind of algorithm.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I like it.
Cross-check it.
All right. Cool. Well, I think... I gotta go move, and you gotta go do shit too.
Oh, God, I got a full day ahead of me.
Alright, well, we'll call it a wrap. For your Tickle Bastards, this has been the Social Hour. I'm Deese.
And I am Brian.
So it's been nice having you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Alright.